pray together. Oh Lord, our God, as we turn our attention to your word now in these moments before us, it is our prayer that you would indeed be our light. Lord, you know the darkness in which we often live. You know the dark places of our hearts, of our minds, of our emotions. We pray that we might look much to Jesus, the light of the world, that we may know that the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. We pray that even in this morning hour, we may be filled with joy again to know that the darkness of night always gives way to the light of morning. And so, Lord, as we look to you, we pray that you would give to us a boldness and a confidence, a comfort, a stability, a security, even that which your servant David of old knew as he called upon you as his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, the one in whom he could take refuge, his shield, the horn of his salvation, his stronghold, his refuge, his Savior, the one who saved him from violence. Father, may we know you in that way as well. May we call upon you because you are worthy to be praised. For in you, we have salvation from all our enemies. So grant to us through your word and spirit this morning a fair meeting with Christ. For we pray these things in his precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to be reading this chapter in its entirety this morning, this beautiful psalm, this song of David. One of his final psalms and songs, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's also found in the book of Psalms as Psalm 18, but we have it here near the end of the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and we'll give our attention to it this morning. We'll not be able to go into great detail as it's a rather large section of Scripture, but I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through this beautiful song together this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 22. What you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His rules were before me, and from His statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before Him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but He did not answer them. I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. So far the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now in the final chapters of 1 and 2 Samuel, what many consider to be the epilogue of these books. And here in the center of this epilogue, in the center of these final chapters, we find a beautiful song of David. A beautiful song of the sweet psalmist of Israel, as David will be identified in chapter 23. This is a song that David sings near the end of his life. It's a song in which David reflects on his life and the many and varied events of his life. It's a song that summarizes David's life. And as David looks over his life, he sees that time and time and time again, the Lord has delivered him. The great song of David's life is a song of deliverance. And you see that already in verse 1 that sets the context for this song. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so look at the way in which this song begins. In those times when when your heart is overwhelmed and your heart is faint and you cry out to God, these are perhaps some of the best words you can use to cry out to God, because even as you sing these words, even as you pray these words, these opening words of this song of David, confidence is built up. Your strength is renewed. You remember what a great God you belong to. Listen to these words of David. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. Will you listen to those words, those vivid images that David sings to speak of the character of God? What comes to mind when you hear such words like these? Rock, fortress, refuge, deliverer, shield, horn of salvation, stronghold, Savior. What comes to mind? Stability. Strength. Security. This is how David speaks of his God here at the end of his life. As he surveys all the events of his life, he looks to his God and says, my God has been my stability, my security, my strength. And notice those pronouns there in front of almost every one of those images. David could have said, the Lord is a rock, the Lord is a fortress, the Lord is a deliverer, and so on. But he says, no, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. You see, this is not just a song of deliverance in general. This song is personal. And oh, that you and I might learn to pray to God and to sing to God like this. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my stronghold. David is effusive in his praise of God here at the beginning of this song. Indeed, you'd be hard-pressed to find any other psalm that begins with such a piling up of imagery for God as our strength, our security, our stability. And David tells us why he sings in praise to God. Verse 4, the Lord is worthy to be praised, not only for who He is, but also for what He has done. He has shown Himself to be our Savior, our saving God. And how badly David needed saving. Indeed, if you look on to the next section of this psalm, verses 5 through 7, look at some of the words that David sings there to describe his situation. He speaks of waves of death, of torrents of destruction, of the cords of Sheol, of the snares of death. We sometimes think, as we read David's story, we think so quickly of how God delivered him, and sometimes we forget what a struggle it was for David as he was in the midst of those times. What comes to mind when you hear such words like these? Instability, insecurity, weakness. This is how David often felt. So often we think of David only in terms of his reign upon the throne. And we have nearly half of 1 and 2 Samuel that deal with David's time on the throne. But also you have almost an equal amount of chapters that describe the days of David's struggle before he ever came to the throne. David often felt as though he were sinking, as though he were drowning, as though he were dying. Trials and hardships and difficulties plagued him nearly every step of the way, and he couldn't deliver himself. And so he cried out to God. I think that this is maybe one of the reasons the book of Psalms resonates with us so much. Though our struggles and our trials may be very different than David's, every one of us knows what it is to go through times of trial and hardship and adversity. And certainly one of the reasons God sends adversity and trial and difficulty and tears into our lives is to teach us to cry out to Him. When do you pray most? Usually not when you feel strong, but when you feel weak. When are your cries to God most fervent? Not when you feel secure, but when you feel insecure. When do you cry out to Him most for forgiveness? Not always in those times when you're walking closely with Him, but in those times when you've strayed. And you see, all of that is part of God's sanctification in our lives, part of the way that He grows us and matures us. He sends those hard times. He allows those failures and those fallings into sin that we might know our need for a Savior, that we might know our need for a rock on which to stand, that we might look to Christ again as the rock of ages, the one that we need. And so here is David crying out to God. And God shows David and He shows you and me over and over and over again that He is a God who hears our prayers and that He is a God who acts on our behalf. And did you notice that description that David gave in verses 8 through 16 of how the Lord came to his defense? Here we have a vivid description of God in His mighty power, a vivid description of God moving to save David, to save His people. David describes it as though God were literally moving heaven and earth to come and rescue him. David could have simply said, "Well, the Lord heard my prayer and delivered me." But instead, he gives us 8 verses here in which he describes the way in which God moves and comes to his help. One author put it this way: David wants you to feel it, to experience it, to see the Lord coming to rescue you, moving heaven and earth to save you. This is what God does when his people call upon him. He rides the heavens to help and in his excellency on the clouds. What a beautiful picture that is. Do you ever think of it that way? When you're crying out to God in prayer, that He's riding the heavens to help you. That His chariots are the clouds. That He's moving on the wind, as it were, to come and rescue you. That's how David describes it here. If you look at verses 8 through 16, how many references do you find there to David? How many references do you find there to you or to me? None. This is all about God. This is God moving to help His people. This is David singing that deliverance comes from God, that salvation is of the Lord. And look at how he describes it in verses 17 through 20. Look at verse 17. David says, "He sent from on high, He took me, He drew me out of many waters." Do you remember another figure from the Old Testament that was drawn out of the waters? Moses was drawn out of the water. In fact, that's why Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses. The name literally means drawn out of the water. The very same word is used here by David in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 17. David takes the name of Moses. He takes a description of Moses and applies it to himself, as though Moses' story was his story. In fact, if you look at verses 18 through 20, you'll see not only imagery from the life of Moses, but you'll see imagery there from the Exodus itself. And you see what David is doing here in verses 17 and 20. 17 through 20, he's speaking of God riding in the heavens to come and be His help. And he's employing language of the life of Moses and language of the story of the Exodus. And he's saying, "This is my life. This is my story." Now, of course, David isn't Moses. And David wasn't there in the time of the Exodus. And yet here he is borrowing language of Moses, borrowing language of the Exodus and applying it to himself. Why? Because David is saying here that God has written him into the story of salvation. God has written him into the story of deliverance. That this story of God's deliverance of His people in the Old Testament is David's story. It's his deliverance. Nowhere do we see that more clearly in the verses that follow. Look at verses 21 through 28 with me. Let me read these verses with you. Maybe they struck you as we read these verses this morning. They're meant to strike us. Listen to what David sings here. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His rules were before me, and from His statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before Him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His sight. With the merciful You show Yourself merciful. With the blameless man You show Yourself blameless. With the purified You deal purely. And with the crooked You make Yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but Your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. Well, what do we make of those verses? David speaks of the Lord dealing with him according to His righteousness. And yet he was an adulterer. Sexually immoral. David speaks of the Lord rewarding him according to the cleanness of his hands. But he was a murderer. He had blood on his hands. David speaks of keeping the ways of the Lord and not wickedly departing from God. And yet, that was the very thing David had done. David speaks of God's law and says he's not turned from it. And yet he broke the commandments. David says he was blameless and that he kept himself from guilt. We've read his story. Has David forgotten his sin? Has David made light of his sin? Has David forgotten his great fall? Are we to look at David as if he had never sinned nor been a sinner? As if he had been perfectly obedient? That's what he seems to be saying here. Well, this chapter comes near the end of 1 and 2 Samuel. And the author who included David's song here at this point in the book knows and assumes that we've read the rest of the book. Assumes that we know David's story. That we know David's failures. That we know David's sins. So what do we make of these verses? Well, many have suggested that what David is saying here is that he did the right thing with his sin. He's not denying his sin. He wants to point out, however, that he did repent of his sin, that he turned from his sin, and that he tried to amend his ways, and that God is now rewarding his efforts, imperfect though those efforts may be. And that may, in part, answer the question, but it's really not entirely satisfying, is it? Because it puts the focus on David in the midst of a song that's been all about God. And while it is true that indeed David repented of his sin and turned from it, and while that's what we must do also when we sin, I don't think ultimately that's the answer to these verses and what we are to make of it. One commentator, I think, comes much closer when he writes these words. He says, the Bible writer who placed this song of David at this point in history was not an idiot. He knew that we would read it after we had read the full and frank accounts of David's faults. He knew that this song would be read by people who knew very well that David was an adulterer and a murderer. And so we have to ask, how was it possible for an adulterer and murderer to speak as David spoke in verses 21 through 25? This is the question the Bible writer himself has forced upon us. After David's adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband, the prophet told David, the Lord has put away your sin. We may still remember David's sin and pin it on him, but remarkably, the Lord does not. He was clean because God washed him and cleansed him from his sin. It is what God did, not what David did, that made him whiter than snow. God forgave David's sin because of God's commitment to David, not because of David's commitment to God. The same author goes on to write that here in these verses, David sees his life as God sees his life. These verses are asserting that the Lord dealt with David as a forgiven and cleansed man. As David will go on to say in verse 33, it's the Lord who made him blameless. You see, beloved, David has been forgiven. David has been given the righteousness of God. David has learned to see himself as such, to see himself as a forgiven sinner, to see himself as a sinner now clothed in the righteousness that God provides. Here then is a great lesson for us in the midst of this beautiful song of David. So great is the forgiveness you've been given. So great is this gift of righteousness that you've been given. You can actually speak of it as your own. You can actually see yourself as God sees you. That's what David is doing here. He's seeing himself as God sees him. As David looks over his life, he sees his sin, but he also sees and remembers what God has done with his sin. He's put it away. And David's confessing here that the only way he's allowed to consider his sin is that it is forgiven sin. That it's been dealt with, that God has put it away, that this has been God's word to him. Oh, that we would learn to do what David has done here. That we might learn to see ourselves as God sees us, washed, cleansed, forgiven, righteous, holy, and loved. That would have great implications for us in the Christian life. So often we forget that salvation is not the goal of the Christian life. Salvation is the source of the Christian life. We live the Christian life not to earn forgiveness, but because we are forgiven. We live the Christian life not to be declared righteous, but because we are declared righteous. We live the Christian life not to be loved, but because we are loved. And you see, the reason it is so important to learn this lesson is because it's only when we know that we are forgiven and we know that we are declared righteous and we know that we are loved and welcomed and accepted by God that we truly begin to live. And the Christian life is no longer a burden, but a joy and a delight. It is this very gospel declaration of forgiveness and righteousness that gives us strength to live for God. And you see that very thing in the Song of David. Look at verses 29 through 31. We're quickly running out of time, so I'm not going to take the time to read those verses now. But here in verses 29 through 31, David sings of the strength the Lord has given him through His Word. There were indeed plenty of dark times in David's life, and yet the Lord was a lamp to him, a lamp that shines in dark places, a lamp that shines when every other light has gone out. David even can picture himself here as running against a troop, as leaping over high walls. How can he do that? Because of his God. David says, "This God is perfect. His word proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him." What else did David have to go on? How often in David's life he must have come back to those words spoken to him by Nathan the prophet in 2 Samuel 12, "The Lord has put away your sin." His life often reminded him of his sin. His life often reminded him of the consequences of his sin. His life often reminded him of what a mess he had made because of his bad choices, his poor judgments, the sins he had committed. And time and time and time again, he had to come back to the word of the Lord. He had to come back to that good news that the Lord had put away his sin. And he had to believe the word of God spoken concerning him. And look at where that led him. Verses 32 through 46. Again, we won't take the time to read it, but look at those verses. Look at what God's word has done for David. Look at what God's forgiveness has done for David. Look at what God's steadfast love has done for David. And let me ask you, have you learned, like David, to live on the basis of God's word? Have you learned to live as one forgiven by God? Have you learned to live in God's steadfast love for you? You see, it's the gospel that is the source of the Christian life. It's the gospel that gives you strength to withstand temptation. It's the gospel that gives you strength to go on when you failed. It's the gospel that gives you strength to do battle with the great enemy of your soul. It's the gospel that gives you hope and comfort even in the face of death. It's the gospel that tells you that you are saved and that you can triumph in that salvation. Do you see that banner written large over your life? A sinner saved by grace. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago in a different connection when we were talking about the assurance of salvation based on the finished work of Christ, how I've had times in the ministry where I've asked people on their deathbed if they were assured of their salvation. And when they said yes, and I pressed them further, they said they were assured because of the life they'd lived, of the good they've tried to do, that they had tried to do their best. And what a sad thing it is to hear that. And how it was necessary then to point them back again to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to tell you also this morning that there were many other times when I've asked that question and received a very different response, where people have said to me, I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's all of Christ. And He's my only hope, and He's my only comfort. He's my only security as I face death. As my body is buried in the grave, my hope and my comfort is in belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were a number of those whom I had had the privilege of ministering with that said, these will be the words on my tombstone, a sinner saved by grace. And what a joy to see a brother, a sister in Christ facing death, triumphing in the great victory that is ours in Christ. And that's where David ends this song, with the song of deliverance. He ends with these wonderful words of triumph. Look at verses 47 through 49. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Again, David calls the Lord his rock, the rock of his salvation. There again is that imagery of stability and security and strength. And so David ends this song where he began it. He says, look, through the whole of my life, this has been the constant. The Lord has always been my rock. One author put it poignantly when he said, in the end, the only dependable thing in life is God. Have you learned that lesson? In the end, the only dependable thing in life is God. David learned it. And so he ends his song with these words, verses 50 and 51. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. And so this song does indeed end where it began, in terms of the Lord being David's rock. And yet there is also movement in this song. At the beginning of the song, David was unstable, insecure, weak. He needed saving. At the end of the song, David is stable, secure, strong. He has been saved. He is the King. Do you see where this song has taken us? This song of David's life. It's taken us from a helpless sinner at the beginning to a king sitting in triumph at the end. And how did he get there? Only through the mighty work of God. And so step back with me for a moment and look at this song. Do you see what this song is ultimately? Well, it's a song of the Christian life. It's a song of our journey. It's a song of our journey from helpless sinners to those who sit in triumph with the King. And it's a song of our journey because ultimately this is Christ's song. Christ is the great singer of this psalm. Sings it even better than David could sing it. Because Jesus Christ is the one who is perfectly obedient. Obedient even to the point of death, even that bitter and shameful death of the cross. And Jesus Christ, having finished that work that the Father gave Him to do, Jesus Christ having kept the law and the Word of God in all of its fullness, Jesus was rewarded for His righteousness. And what was His reward? His reward was us, the people whom the Father gave to Him. Jesus won the gifts of which David sings. And so in Jesus, we too can sing this song. It's a song that keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one in whom God looks upon us as if we had never sinned nor been sinners, as if we had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for us. And oh, that we would learn to sing this song. It's been said that many times for us as Christians, for every one look at Jesus, we put 10 looks upon ourselves, and how necessary it is to reverse that. For every one look at ourselves, let us put 10 looks on Jesus. He's our rock. We're not the rock. He is. And so here, near the end of his life, David is teaching us how to view our lives. And as you survey your life, dear Christian, and you look at what God has done for you, you will see very much as David saw, that God is a saving God. What has He done in your life over and over and over again? He has delivered, He has delivered, He has delivered, He has delivered. He is a God who delivers. He is a God who has written us into the story of salvation. David could sing of being written into the story of Moses and the Exodus. We can sing of being written into the story of Jesus, His death and resurrection. We are not our own. We belong to Jesus. We have died with Him. We've been raised with Him. He is our life. He is our rock throughout all of our life. One commentator summarized it so well, and let me end with this because it really captures the beauty of this song so wonderfully and the point of it all. He writes this. David's message to us is this. There is a rock on which you can stand. If you put your feet on that rock, you can keep your head above water. Stop swimming and put your feet down. Feel solid ground underneath. God has dealt with your sin, and He will bring you safely to the shore. You may still be in the water, and the waves may still throw you around, But there is a rock beneath your feet. Stretch out your faith and feel it there. Stop trying to be your own Savior and discover the truth that Christ is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Lord our God, we do give thanks to you as we come near the end of the life of your servant David. We thank you for this song of David that we could look at together this morning. And it's our prayer that you would give us much grace to learn as David did, that you alone are our rock and our fortress and our deliverer. And so, Lord, help us through all the toils and the troubles and the waves and the billows of this life to learn to kiss those waves that cast us again upon the rock that is higher than we are. Those ones that lead us again back to you. Help us to know that the foundation that we have in Christ is firm. And by faith, may we always receive and accept those words which you have spoken upon us, that you have dealt with our sin, that you have put it away, and that you look upon us now only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we rest in his finished work, may that gospel drive us forth to live for you with strength, with boldness, with confidence. May we know that Jesus always is our lamp in the midst of the darkest of places. And may we end this life, even as David did, singing that the Lord is my rock. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, let us